Luke chapter 2. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Accomplished just means, it's a word that means fulfilled. And she should be delivered, it means, it's tekto, which means to beget or to bear fruit. Let's look at a couple of those about that she should be delivered. Let's look at James again, it's because it's so important. James 1. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it hath finished, bringeth forth death. The word bringing forth is the same word that she should be delivered. It's the tikto. And until we see that you can't put a muzzle on the mad dog within you, you have to have run the rabbit to see that it's done. Now, hopefully, you won't have to physically go do it, but by empathy, you can see it, and so you don't give breath any longer to those things. Because hopefully that they have already conceived and brought forth the death in you. But if you give it life again by your own mind, then it has to bring forth death again. And this goes on and on and on and on. And so what, and the modern church doesn't realize that death is what it's supposed to do. And so they cause us to become actors and actresses. And we outwardly appear like we're doing it right, but inwardly we're full of dead men's bones. What?
I mean, I admit everything you say.
All right. Now let's go to Revelation 12 and see this about her bringing forth. And there appeared in a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, or actually it's 12 signs. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And this is what you see in the zodiac. You see the woman, and she's crowned with the 12 signs of the zodiac around her head. And the dragon is right there, and he covers a third part of the earth of the stars. And he's waiting for this miracle to take place, that he should consume the child. And he didn't do it, of course. But that same dragon is still trying to consume the child in you. Amen? You understand that? And he does it by your mind. All right. So the child has been delivered. The child has overcome the dragon. The child has overcome everything. And everything is fulfilled under the earth and above the earth. He fulfilled everything. And now there's no more battle except the crazy one that you do. And you don't have to. It's just stupid. Everybody understand that? All right. Back to Luke. And she brought forth her firstborn son. And we could study, we've already studied all those things. She brought forth her firstborn son. If for those listening, you can go to John 3:5 and 3:7. Galatians 4:24, 1 John 2:29, 1 John 3:9, 1 John 4:7, 1 John 5:1, 4, and 18. He brought forth the Son. Let's look at the Son a minute. It's not technon, it's huios, which means the fullness of the sons. So God saw his fulfillment even at his birth. Let's go to Daniel 7. Please interrupt if you don't understand this. This didn't happen just in history. It's a cosmic thing. It altered the universe. You should read the whole chapter, but we're just going to read one verse or two verses. Verse 13, this is what Daniel saw. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not never be destroyed. So this is the predicate of all of Daniel's visions. And they're all fulfilled. Let's go to one more place. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And this is why, again, the expectation was so great in Israel at this time, because the 70 weeks of Daniel were up. The 490 years.
Where are we?
Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, notice, R isn't there, but it's the author and finisher of faith, who for, or that's the word hooper, which means instead of, who instead of the joy that was set before him at the Mount of Transfiguration, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, or legitimate children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards, and not sons. Now, that sounds like a contradiction in terms, where it says if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. But to be without chastisement means you lean on your own arm of understanding to escape the chastisement. What? You went somewhere.
Chubby lady walking over.
Oh. Anyway, understanding. And if the son learned obedience by the things that he suffered, and his obedience was never to lean on his own arm of understanding to get out of anything, just think of what it means to you. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin.
We used to talk a lot about abiding, and that's what it says about you just don't leave. And things look wrong, and they steal those people out of you, which has happened.
But you don't steal a car and run away.
You don't do things like that.
Verse 2, the finisher of faith. I remember how much that meant to me when we first discovered that it was his faith in us.
Amen.
And, that was a massive
thing.
All right, back to Luke. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Swaddling clothes is, I can't ever pronounce these words, but sparganu. And it means strips of cloth that the child was wrapped in. Not just the one thing. But again, there's a part of the legends of Christianity. And I've looked and looked and looked for it, and I can't really prove it. But it said that the swaddling, the firstborn son was wrapped in the clothes or the garment that the father had worn when he was circumcised. So it had the blood of the father in it. But that's one of them.
I thought that was cool yesterday when you said about them being born among the sacrifices.
Amen. Well, it's even bigger here in a minute. We talked about the cave. The manger was it's a stall for animals. We talked about this. There were two kind of, what do they call them, ante rooms, and then a big cavern in back. And this is where the cattle for sacrifice were kept during the winter, when it was cold, when the winter months. And they were fed and raised in the stalls, just like cattle are now if you live in a cold country. But this wasn't the cold. They were out in the mountain feeding. So we know, I mean, that's another proof that he was born, when born in December. And the inn normally these inns were, they were a walled enclosure, and they had bunches of rooms for the travelers. But there were a place where if they had camels or whatever they were guarded. And they had guards there, so they didn't come and steal stuff. And they had a great hall where they fed meals to the people, and it was a stopover. Now, and again, it was full because everybody that had been born in Bethlehem, I mean, their tribes, David was born in Bethlehem. That's why if you're a house David, you have to go back to Bethlehem. And so there was just tons of people everywhere for this what they call taxing, but it was really this describing what the Roman emperor was doing. All right, now we're going to go something.
When they were going for the census, wasn't there a part of their motivation running from Herod or something like that?
Not yet. We'll see that in a minute.
Okay.
No, they weren't running from Herod yet. All right, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, this to me is one of the most interesting things in the birth story of Christ. These weren't just simple shepherds. They were the officials that were in charge of guarding the flocks and watching for stray animals. This is so cool, I can't even stand it. It was very near Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem. A tower, and it was known as Migdal Eder. And it means the watchtower of the flock. And here was where the official shepherds watched the flocks destined for sacrifice in the temple. Animals that strayed as far as that tower were still eligible for sacrifice. Now the Jews had a conviction because of what was stated in Micah that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. And we'll go look at that in a minute. And that he was to be revealed from this Migdal Eder tower. The Talmud says that the Messiah would be revealed from that tower, and that's where the shepherds were. And so when the shepherds were the first, he was born in Bethlehem, and the first to recognize him were the official shepherds watching over the sacrificial flock. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. How did they recognize him? What was the incident?
Let's go to Micah first. Look at this, Micah 5. This is where they knew he was born in Bethlehem. It's Amos, Jonah, Micah, I think.
Page.
We're going to have to do this stuff where we have
Bible drills.
I've never done that, but I think it's in order for this group.
Shanna can teach us all.
There's a table of contents at the front of the
That's cheating.
That's why it's there.
What's it called? Bible drill for dummies. Look at the table of contents. All right, Micah 5. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old and from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, etc., etc. Now the whole thing about the tower, the Migdal Eder tower, is in the Talmud. But it's just amazing to me that all these little... It's impossible. The shepherd, they wouldn't have been there out in the fields with the flocks. They'd have been in the cave if it was wintertime. This is Jerusalem. It snows. It gets cold. And Bethlehem is just 10 kilometers.
But this would have been like the time of Rosh Hashanah. So
this would have been in the fall.
Early fall.
Yeah. What?
That's pretty cool.
All right, I don't feel like talking anymore.
Can I just think about those shepherds?
Oh, let's look at that. No. Here, now watch. We'll get into this in the next few days. But and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying.
And they probably would have known exactly where to look, too.
Well, God was there the whole thing.
Their manger, yeah.
That was the flock that they were guarding. And again, what look at verse 14.
Are we in Luke 2?
Yeah. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men." That's not. It's all awkward. It's an awkward sentence. Here's what it says literally: the goodwill of God's toward men, the Messiah, is the glory to God and is the only peace on earth. We sing this, peace on earth, goodwill to man. That's not what it says. It says, the goodwill of God towards man is Messiah, and he is the only glory of God, and he is the only peace on earth. How we've messed up, screwed up, F up this mystery.
Legal now.
What?
You can say that on broadcast news now. Okay, beside the point. So this kind of goes back to the only thing that would screw it up is the mind of the man. And
how well he does.
Ever present.
But this next part, it's just mind bending. The revelation showing what happened, it was predicted in the stars billions of years ago with the sign of Virgo, the snake trying to, the evil one trying to destroy the child. He's still trying to destroy the child in you because his minion, your mind, the minds of men are still destroying him. Nobody has any response? Isn't this exciting to you?
It's cool.
Feels like Christmas.
Yeah, it does. It's like Christmas.
It is. It's the Christ Mass.
Well, this gift is greater than any.
Whenever he is seen. Not at some appointed time. Take it, big guy. Are we meeting? Ms. Judy?
Yeah.